If you want to turn to James 1, 2, start there. Well, let's start in verse 1. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, we've talked about love last couple weeks, and last week we talked about basically complaining and its relation to love and complaining in our life. And, you know, when you're complaining, you're basically taking your eyes off the positive, looking at the negative, looking away from God, essentially, and that it, you know, stops up the flow of love in your life because you're looking at negative things. You're not looking at God, looking at positive, looking at hope. And so you're basically looking at somebody or some circumstance in your life and letting it get the best of you and how that works. And this kind of goes along with it, dovetails with it. James is talking to these tribes that are scattered abroad. They're being persecuted at this point, and people are going through tough times. And he says this in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. These people were being persecuted, but he said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And I want to focus on just on that phrase, count it all joy. When stuff happens in our lives, and it does, don't have to live very long to know that, that we can count it all joy. And that seems almost counterintuitive when you first look at it, that when bad things happen, to be happy about it, or to be happy in the midst of it, really. Paul's not saying be happy for something. You know, you break your leg, you would know about that, and you're not happy because it happened. But he's saying in the midst of it, still be happy. Count it all joy, even when something bad happens. Not because it happened, not because something bad happened, but in the midst of it, we can still count it all joy. Now, why can we do that? He goes on to say, when you fall into various trials, because these people are being persecuted. He's not telling them, bull, be thankful because you're being persecuted. Nobody likes that. He's saying, because when you fall into various trials, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That as you're going through it, count it all joy for this reason, that you know that God has the answer, and that even in the midst of this, you're going to come through and you're going to be on top. Somebody said it this way, when something happens to you, just count it as another chance to prove that God's word works, that God's word's faithful, that God is faithful in our lives, that no matter what, He is going to do what He said He would do. So when something bad happens to us, we can say, instead of looking at it like, oh no, why did this happen? Great, now I have to go through this, get into complaining, get into feeling sorry for ourselves, which is the temptation. We can say, well, what does the Bible say about it? What did God say about it? This is another chance to show that He is who He said He is. He will do what He said He will do. And so it's an opportunity for me just to prove that again in my life. Now, that's not easy. I don't think anybody would say that's easy to do, because our first inclination is to be irritated or to be upset or maybe to be in fear or to worry about it or to feel sorry for ourselves, any of these other things. But those things don't bring any good results. They don't help any situation. Panic doesn't help any situation. Being worried about it doesn't help it. If anything, it makes it worse. You can't think clearly. You don't do what you're supposed to do. You're influenced by emotion. He's saying, count it all joy. Look back to God. See, to count it all joy, you have to look back at Him. God, in the midst of this, keep your perspective. Keep your perspective that if something comes against us, something happens in life, whatever it is, that we can look to God and we can still have a perspective of what His Word says, that this thing that has come is not permanent. No matter what it looks like, it's not permanent. I mean, you think about it, even if it was permanent for the rest of your life, it's not permanent. We don't want to think about things in that term, but even if something lasted our whole life, it's not forever. There is a hereafter, and that amount of time that we're going to spend outside of this earth dwarfs anything that's on this earth. So if nothing else, we could be happy that this is going to end and God Almighty is going to meet us on the other side and we're going to spend eternity in heaven. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, if we don't think we have anything else to be thankful for, at least we can look at that, right? But God has promised us so many things and said He'd take care of us in so many situations that we don't even really have to get there. We can be thankful if we know God and thankful that we know this almighty being that is on our side that has promised us things. So we can look at that in our situation and it can give us our perspective back. You know, when something happens, sometimes it can be so much in our face that we can't see anything else right there. This, when we start looking back at God and just be thankful, the Bible says to count it all joy, even in the midst of this. Okay, I'm going to be happy about my life even in the midst of this. I'm going to look at Him and start meditating on what He says. It's like it takes the situation that is surrounding us and starts to give us our perspective. It's like when you go up in an airplane and you start seeing everything get further and further away and you realize that your little house looks like a toy from that distance. You can't even see the people anymore. And pretty soon you can hardly even see the houses. And all you realize, it's a good reminder anytime we get in an airplane, how small our little piece of the world really is. Boston, as big as it is, how small it really is in relation. You're out of Boston, you go down to Logan, you start flying, you can't even see Logan in a matter of minutes. There's all this other land, all this other water, all this other, this great metropolis is gone. Our whole area where we live is so small relative to the world and the universe. And God, in the earth, I mean, you look at Jupiter can fit 1,000 Earths in it, and then the sun even more. And God knows all that. He controls all of it. And He said, we're His children. So we back it out. We start realizing, wait a minute, this thing is not as big as it looks. Not in scope, and probably not in time. Like somebody said, one of their favorite phrases was, it came to pass. That means if it came, it's going to pass. And most everything does pass. Everything, the enemy will try to tell us that something is permanent. In our lives, it's permanent. You have something, you have some symptom, oh God, it's the worst thing. You know, whatever that symptom could possibly be, a symptom of the condition, it's the worst thing that it could possibly be, and it's never going anywhere. It's going to stay here. You have it for the rest of your life. When in fact, most things aren't like that. Most things pass. Most things we walk through. Most things we just have to look at God, get our perspective back, and just keep on going and believe Him, what He said He would do, believe His word, believe His faithfulness, and go on. And when we have that type of attitude and that type of perspective, nothing can stop us. And that's what Paul is saying. Count it all joy. I mean, if your enemy is throwing stuff at you in a war and all you do is laugh and you have an answer for everything he does, you know, if you're the enemy, that would get frustrating. There's nothing that can stop you if you have an answer, and we do because we have God Almighty on our side. If anything that is thrown at us, we just laugh at it. We keep our perspective, keep the person that can help us right there by us because we're looking at His Word. We're saying, no, there is an answer for this. There is an answer for this. Nothing can keep us down then. Nothing can stop us. We keep going and things are just going to bounce off us. But we're not saying nothing bad will ever happen to us. God said He'd protect us, and nothing is going to destroy us. Nothing's going to hurt us. But we live in a fallen world. Like we've said, stuff can happen, but that doesn't mean it has to negatively affect us. But stuff frustrating, we go to places of work, irritating things can happen there. Things can happen in our societies or with our communities or whatever that we don't like. Stuff can happen, personal situations can happen, but it doesn't have to have the final say in anything. And like he said here, that when we fall into various trials, it will count all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You grow patience as over and over you see, wait a minute. I mean, you can recount the things that God's done in the past. Wait a minute. This is the way I felt then. I mean, have you ever thought back to a situation like a year ago, and it was a big situation to you at that point, but you think back and you realize there's nothing to that now. It's over. It looked like it was going to last for a while. It looked like it was this big situation, but it's all resolved. So you have the answer now. You're already past it. It doesn't look that big anymore. It's gone. Well, when you come to a new situation, you realize God helped me there. Things worked out. It wasn't what I thought it was. It wasn't that big a deal, no matter what I thought, no matter what my emotions were telling me. So now in this situation, same thing. I can have patience in this situation. I don't have to throw up my hands immediately. I can have joy because right here, it's the same thing. I have the same God. I have the same promises. I have His same faithfulness is on my side. And so in the midst of it, I can be patient. I can be joyful. I can be happy. I can go through it even though it's not fun, but I can still be happy because joy is not something that is from the external. It's from the internal. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1. In verse 3, let's start there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. He's talking about our inheritance. That it's incorruptible, our inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. We have that. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. He's saying we have this salvation, this inheritance, incorruptible, something that will not fade away. Because this, you rejoice, even though you're going through some things that aren't fun right now. Various trials. Now, when we talk about trials, we're not talking about anything that is covered by what God said. If God's promised us, he said that, you know, bodily things, financial act, things that, you know, our kids being all right, protection, safety. We're not talking about those things being trials. God has had, we have promises through all those things. We're not saying we just have to go through those things. There may be things that come against us in those areas, but we have the victory. But there's things that just happen because we're in this life, like what we talked about, and specifically persecution and things that suffering that is talked about a lot in the epistles is just when you're doing what God wants you to do, it's not always easy on what your just your body and flesh would want to do all the time. When you're serving God and doing what he wants you to do, not that it brings you negative results, but it's basically just growing in the direction God wants you to grow. It's not always easy on us. It's not always easy to grow in the direction. If we're submitted to God Almighty, that means we're not out doing what we want to do all the time. Not that it's some, you know, fake, you know, false humility thing. Oh, I'm so spiritual. I'm doing all these things and giving these things up for God. No, it's not like that. God, Jesus is the Savior. He laid down his life for us. But at the same time, if Jesus is our Lord and we're following him, then he's our master. We're following him, not everything we'd want to do. And sometimes that is not the easiest thing. There is a suffering involved with that, if you want to call it that. There is putting down your desires. I mean, you think about it. People that go, they compete in the Olympic Games. You not think there's a suffering that goes along with that? They've decided they're going to pursue that gold medal and be the best in the world. You don't think the regimen those people put their bodies through is suffering? They suffer for that. is that saying they're just all, would you say Olympic athlete is just so beaten down, trodden down, and, so, you know, doesn't have any money and can't eat or is really sickly? No, it has nothing to do with any of that stuff. Do they necessarily have bad relationships and they're just hated by everybody? No, it has nothing to do with any of that. But would you say they're suffering? Yes. Is it a choice? Yes. Did Jesus suffer? He suffered a lot of things in our place, but he chose to do it. But Jesus wasn't beaten down, trodden down. He did it willfully. Well, that's the suffering that the Bible talks about over and over. And in 1 Peter, that's what he's talking about. In James, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about some old poor person that just can't get it together in life. No, he's talking about people that have chosen to follow God. And that's not always easy. Just like these people that have chosen to be the best in the world at whatever sport it is, or you could, you know, use intellectual pursuits or whatever, there is a price that people have to pay to do that. And you could say they're suffering for it. But it's not something that, number one, they chose to do that, and they can still have joy in the middle of that, right? Because why? They're looking at where they're going. They have a day that's really hard at training, and they're feeling it in their body. They're wondering if it's worth it, but they look at their goal. They look at where they're going, and they say, no, you know what? It's worth it because I've set myself on this course, and I'm going there. I'm going there. This is worth it. This is worth it because this is the price I have to pay. Well, our situation is a little different. Jesus has paid the price, but he still asked us to follow him. And it's not always easy, certain things. We don't want to get it confused to where we're thinking we're suffering for God when really we're just being dumb and we're suffering things that we don't need to suffer. Those are two different things. But when he is legitimately telling us to do something, we don't understand everything. We don't understand exactly what we're going. He's asked us to step out of our comfort zone in an area, learn this skill, learn how to do this or whatever. And it's not something that's so comfortable, but we really believe that's where we're supposed to go. In our mind, or in our life, instead of having the gold medal as the goal, it's following God, and this is what he said we're supposed to do, so we go after that. Well, then when things aren't so easy on certain days, we feel like, you know what, why am I doing this? I'm not comfortable with this anyway, or why am I learning this? I don't really have the desire, me personally, if it was me, I'd just go forget this and go do something I really like to do and watch TV, but just like that athlete that said, you don't think there's times that those athletes say, you know what, I just want to go to Burger King and pig out and go get a movie and just sit there and forget my regimen for a few days. But what do they say? No, I'm going for this. If I do that, it's taking me away from where I want to go. Well, it's the same thing for us. When we're going through life, there's going to be some trials and things just because we're following God. And things that were that come up, but we say, no, I'm following God, therefore he's taken care of me. If it's him that I'm following and his pathway and his plan, then he has an answer. Number one, I'm his child, so I know that there's an answer for everything that may be coming against me externally. But if it's things that are happening just because I'm following him, then he has a way and it will work out the best. There's things we all know. If you've ever tried to take on a new skill or learn something, it's not fun while you're going through it. But when you've mastered it, there's satisfaction. It's not fun learning to play an instrument, but when you can play it, it's fun. When you learn a skill to where it actually has usefulness and you're not just going through the grinding anymore, it becomes satisfying. Well, God is where each of us is a work in progress. Each of us is growing. He's got a plan. He knows where he wants to get us. But it's not always easy to go through some of these things. So when things come up and, you know, situations test us, we can still have the perspective that, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. I'm looking at him. And so therefore, I can count it all joy then. That's how I count it all joy, is that I look at his word, what he's promised, look where I'm going, keep my perspective, realize that my perspective doesn't have to be so tight, that I realize I'm in God's hands, I'm in his plan, and therefore he's got control of all this and I can move on. And we can count it all joy, not for it, but in it. Let's turn to Romans 5, 1 through 4. This is another, you know, parallel scripture saying about the same thing. All right, there it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right there, I mean, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our state. We have peace. We're at peace with God. Verse 2, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice because of this, what we have. We stand in this grace that we've talked about. Verse 3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. He said, not only, man, we are thankful for what God has given us, that by faith we stand in this grace and we are at peace with God. And not only that, in verse 3 he says, we also glory in tribulations, things that aren't going well, things that are hard, in tribulations and things that we have to go through, we glory in them. Not just in what we know we have with God, but we glory in the middle of tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, that we go through something and we go through it and we come out on top and we realize, I made that. God was faithful. So it produces perseverance. The next time we come up against something, we have more grit and determination. We have perseverance because we've been through one. Perseverance, verse 4, character. That becomes our lifestyle, that we go through something, we make it through, we see the faithfulness of God, we come up against something else, we have more perseverance, we go through that again, and that just becomes the way we behave. Something comes up against us, like we said earlier, it's just like, no, I can take this. I'm going to have joy through it. It bounces off. We go right through it by the grace of God, and we keep going, and that becomes our character. And then in character produces hope. Because we have seen God over and over come through for us, we've gone through it, we've seen His faithfulness, we've done it again, that produces that character, which we do that over and over, and then we have a hope, an expectation that God's going to do it again. Because it's tempting when you come up to something when, you know, the Israelites did this over and over and they're no different from us. God would come through for them, come through for them, come through for them. But then they come up through a different, up to a different situation. They say, oh no, what's God going to do now? That's the temptation. But when we see it over and over, it should produce hope, expectation that, wait a minute, look at this trail behind me. God has been faithful to me over and over. He has taken care of me. He's done what He said He would do. I expect Him to do it right here. And when we come through it again like that, when we're coming up with expectation to a situation, and we see what's coming at the end, at the beginning of the situation, when we see the end of it, we can count it all joy and be happy. We say, this is just another chance for God to prove that He's faithful. At the beginning, because we've seen this string behind us of God has been faithful here, and He's been faithful here, and He's been faithful here. He's been faithful here over and over. Right now, He's going to be faithful. And so I can be happy about it. I can say, yeah, this is just another chance to prove His faithfulness again, just like the Israelites. They could have had that attitude. Hopefully we'll learn from their mistakes and say we don't want to, every time, you know, over and over, this string of God being faithful in our lives, we come up against something, we go, oh, what am I going to do now? And then we're tempted to get into fear and worry and everything, and we're not learning. Hopefully, we all want to learn. It's tempting not to. It's tempting to still feel sorry for us, no matter how many times God's been faithful. It's tempting because we have an enemy that's going to try to take our eyes off God and to our problems, get us off, because then we're by ourselves and we're not looking to Him and His provision. But if we'll just look back and say, no, I don't care what my feelings say. I don't care how I feel about this. I don't care how bad this situation looks. I believe that God is true to His word, and I'm going to count this all joy and count it as an opportunity for God to help me through this. And that's when, like James said, that we start out, we can count it all joy at the beginning. We can count it all joy when we fall into various trials, because it's just another string, it's just another link in the chain of God helping us. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. It says this, therefore I take pleasure. This is Paul speaking. Therefore I take pleasure. Take pleasure. He takes pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. Why? Just because I'm just so beaten and trod down? No, for Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul went through some stuff to preach the gospel over and over. He was beaten this way and he was beaten that way and he was in prison and he did these things, but he never let any of it stop him. He kept going on. Now, was that just because he was just God just forsook him? No. He did what it took. He went on. Now, why were those things coming against him? Because he was preaching the gospel. What was he doing? He was laying his life down. See, Jesus paid the price, but Jesus wasn't on earth anymore. So somebody still has to go preach the gospel to those people. Just like today, people still have to hear the truth. Well, God is not on earth anymore in bodily form. He's not preaching the gospel except through men today. So somebody has to lay down their life to go and all of us to be a light to show people to God. And through our life to do what God would have us to do. Paul was doing what needed to be done, not taking the place of Jesus, not doing things that Jesus had already done, but he was going to preach the gospel, which God had commissioned him to do. And through that, he had these persecutions, reproaches, infirmities, needs. He said, I'd take pleasure in them. They don't stop me. I count it all joy when this stuff comes. Why? Then he said, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. When I don't feel like I don't want to do these things, think about it. Those Olympic athletes, you can have Christian Olympic athletes too, but just we're talking about in the natural, they're looking to themselves and their regiment to get them someplace. And they may feel, I'm sure there's times when people feel like quitting. It's tough training like that. Well, in our situation, when we're talking about spiritually, when we don't feel like we can keep going with something, we look to God. We don't look to our own strength. We look to His strength. His strength is unlimited. His strength is not limited by our own, our giftings or whatever. If we're doing what He has told us to do, then we have what we need. We may not think it. We may not see it. We may not feel like it, but we have what we need. So we look to Him and we go through it believing in faith that we have what we need. And we look at the problem, like we just said, in expectation that His strength and His provision will be sufficient to go past this situation just like it has in times past. Just like it has in the past, that we can keep going on from one victory to the next victory, from glory to glory. Just keep going up in life. Not that, we keep growing so we're able to handle more, but we still have to rely on Him. It never gets to the point where we don't have to rely on Him. We keep going up and we keep coming up against things that maybe aren't easy, but we count it all joy anyway. We come through that and we come through the next thing and we keep getting stronger and we can handle more for Him and get further down that road that He has us on. Now we're going to close with this scripture in Acts 20, 20 through 21 through 24. Acts 20, verse 21. See, if we could all see the end of our life right now and all the things that God has for us and all the way everything was going to turn out, it'd probably make it a lot easier in some of the tough times because we would know how everything was going to turn out. If you were the Israelites going through some of the things they went through, if you knew the Red Sea was going to split beforehand, then you have to believe God. If you knew Pharaoh was going to let them go on the 10th plague and all this stuff, it'd just be like watching a movie, right? You probably heard that analogy before. If you were to videotape the Super Bowl, and you already knew what the outcome was, you knew what the end final score was, and you had a videotape of it after the fact, but you knew what the final score was, and then you went back and watched it, you would not be You might be up and down with emotion as you're watching the certain plays unfold, but you know what the result is. So even if it comes down to the wire and it looks like your team isn't going to win, but you know your team does win, And it looks impossible that they're going to win, but you know the final score. You know what's going to happen. Then you really wouldn't probably get uptight when it looks like they're not going to win because you know what's going to happen. Well, it's when we know that God said he will take care of us, he knows, we know that he's faithful, we see what he's done, we have to take on that attitude that he is going to do the same thing for us, he is going to bring us through, and we have to treat his word like it is already done. Like, we may not see it or feel it, but he said it, so I'm going to act like it's the case, and I'm going to be happy right now before I see it, because I know he's going to come through because that's his character. He's faithful. And so then in Acts 20, verse 21, or let's go to verse 22. This is Paul, and he's talking about going to Jerusalem, and he says, "And see, now I go bound to in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." There's more of the same. But verse 24, he says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." See, he knows there's more coming. There's things that are going to happen to him in Jerusalem. And in verse 24, he says, "But none of these things move me." I know there's stuff coming, but that does not move me. He says, "Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God, so that I may finish my race with joy." See, every one of us is in a race. Every one of us is living our life out. Every one of us has a ministry. And we want to finish our race with joy. We want to go through it with joy, finish it with joy, go through it knowing that Jesus Christ is our Savior, our God. He is our rampart. He's our defense. He is faithful, and he will bring us through. So right now, wherever we are in life, we're just on this race. We're at some turn in the course. We're at some place. Maybe we're on the straightaway. I don't know. But we're going down, and we know that Jesus is on our side, that we're going to finish this race with joy, that right in the middle of it, we're not going to give up because we know where he's bringing us. We know that whatever we're facing right now is not the end. It's not going to bring us down. That we look, Paul over and over had things that are probably far worse than anything we've face, but he kept going. We can take on that attitude. We can go through it and say, "No, Jesus will take care of me. He will bring me through. It's his strength that I'm looking to, not mine. When I feel like I can't go anymore, it's his strength. I can go through this situation at the beginning, this obstacle course, this obstacle in the course. I can count it all joy here. Go through, know that anything I need while I'm going through it, he's going to supply because I'm looking to him. I'm going to go through this thing, and I'm going to go through the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, till I reach that finish line, and I'm going to finish my race with joy." So I know what the finish line says. I know that I can finish it with joy. I know what the result of the videotape is. I know that I'm going to win. So I am not going to be stopped way back here. I don't care if it looks high or low or wherever it looks like, just like the game of the video of the Super Bowl, the videotape. It may look bad. It may look good at any given time, but I know what the end is, and that's where my eyes are fixed. That's where my eyes are fixed. So all this other stuff is just noise. All the things in and out, you know, daily are just noise. I keep my eyes fixed on what Jesus has for me to do. I don't care what the economists are saying. I don't care what people are saying the world is going to do. It does not matter. It's noise. I know my God. I know he's taking care of me, and I'm going forward. I, for one, am going to have joy. I, for one, am not going to give in to any bad reports that because they don't affect me. I serve the living God. I am going to be taken care of. I am going to finish my course with joy. I'm going to count it all joy. This week, when something comes against us, or maybe right now we're facing something, right now we can change our attitude and change our perspective about what we're facing. And if we're going to face something coming up, when we can change the way we hit that thing. Every one of us this week can come up more. I don't care where we are. We can come up higher. And if, you know, if we're just used to praising God anyway, great. We can just do it that much more and be that much stronger knowing that God is helping us. We can change. We can just bring our perspective up even that higher. If we're already doing all this, we can just go higher with Him and just come up a notch, closer to Jesus, closer to Him. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, we just thank you. We just thank you for being our strength. We thank you, God, that you are a good God, that you are faithful, that this book that we read, the Bible, is just a record of your faithfulness. Through thousands of years, you have been faithful. You are not about to not be faithful in our life. As we look to you this week, as we look to you in our current situation, we know that you're faithful, that we can be joyful, that we can look to you, because just like you were Paul's God, just like you were Moses' God, just like you were David's God, just like you were Daniel's God and Joseph, we just thank you, God, that you are our God. And that as we go forth, you are just as faithful to us as you were to any of the people we read about. And we have a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ that we're at peace with God and that you are taking care of us. Thank you, Lord, no matter what it looks like, that you are bringing us higher, bringing us out, preparing each of us for what you ultimately have called us to do. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's just take just a minute and spend a minute with God and just be quiet before Him and just let Him speak to your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. There is nothing that may come against us in this life that is worth really getting uptight about. Because we have the Almighty Creator with us. He's for us. He said to count it all joy. So by faith, we count it all joy and we can look to Him. We can have a good time with Him in the midst of anything. We just thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Thank you, Lord God, that any situation is not too difficult for you. No situation is too difficult for you. Lord, you are above it all. You are above everything. You see everything that happens on this earth. That not a sparrow falls to earth without you knowing about it. That the very hairs on our head are numbered, Lord God. That all 6.5 billion people, you know each one of them. You know their likes, their dislikes, their strengths, their weaknesses. You know where they're at with you. And all the people that have lived throughout the history of the world, you've known every single one of them, God, and we're no different. You have a plan for us. Lord God, we just thank you that you're our rampart, you're our defense, you're our strengthener. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, that we will finish our course with joy. Thank you, Almighty. Thank you, Lord. God, we look to you. We just thank you for this week. We thank you, God, that you're with us, that you're for us, that you're our friend, and we just praise you and look to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.